The Bible teaches us that if we will just give a cup of water in His name, we're doing His work. So that's what we're doing this week. This is 1 week in the life of lots of people that we're going to impact. But one little thing leads to another thing that leads to another thing. And Servolution is just a fun week. Lots of opportunities. I know it's already been said, but if you haven't signed up, just go out in the foyer, get signed up. I think the first thing that's happening, well, blood drive is happening right now. So if you still want to get signed up for blood drive, you can just walk out there right now. We'll give you a pass on the message this morning, all right? All right, it's the only time I'm ever giving you a pass is if you're going to give blood. This afternoon, we're starting Christmas in July. Our children's ministry, High Octane Kids, they're going to be going out and doing Christmas carols and giving out old school goodie bags to our senior citizens that haven't been able to get out much lately. And so lots of things like that all week long. I hope that you can make some time in your schedule to be a part of that this week. I think God's going to bless you for it. So I want to just start with a scripture. We're going to receive communion this morning as a preparation for serving. We're going to get our hearts in the right place, and we're going to ask God to use us. And it might be that you say, I can't sign up for a Servolution event, but you say, I still want to be a servant at my house. I want to be a servant at my work. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you say, I still want to honor the Lord, and I still want to walk in this blessing. So the Bible says in John chapter 13, now that, let me get this brighter because I'm going to need my glasses if I don't. Here we go. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. So Jesus said, I'm your Lord and I'm your teacher. And now that I have washed your feet. Now imagine, is there anything more humbling than kneeling down to wash somebody's feet? And Jesus said, I'm the Lord and I've just washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. So he said, I showed you how to do it, and now I want you to do it. I want you to be this servant. And then he said in verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So I showed you, now you know how to do it. Verse 16, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now, the reason that that Jesus would have washed their feet was pretty simple. They all wore sandals and they walked everywhere. They didn't have an SUV. They didn't even have a compact car. They didn't have anything. So wherever they went, they were walking. And so they walked in sandals. And so even the Bible says, even after they have bathed and they're clean and they show up, their feet might be dirty. So before they come in the house and track in something in the house, or before they sit down and with dirty feet, I'm just going to wash their feet right there at the door as an act of humility. Now, look, you probably don't need your feet washed this week, all right? I could probably walk up to you and go, look, I just want to be your servant. Take off your shoes. And you would say, I'm good. You don't need to wash my feet, and I don't need to wash your feet. Now, I think there is a place for that. I think there's a place in worship for that, when we just serve one another and in obedience and of Jesus' example to us. But in a general sense, we don't need anybody to wash our feet today. But it's okay, and it's probably, we should, let me say it this way, we should wash people's feet metaphorically by serving them in the way that they need to be served, by mowing somebody's yard when they need it, or baking them a cake, or taking them to the bus stop, or whatever it looks like. That little act of service that says, I want to serve you like Jesus served those people around him. Now, this is really important. He said in verse 17, now that you know these things, he said, okay, I've got you up to speed. You know what you're supposed to do. I showed you how to do it. I showed you I'm not too good to do it. I'm the one that showed you what it looks like. And then he says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. He's telling us that if we will walk in obedience and bless those around us, that he will bless us. That he will do for us, he will serve us still today and by giving us blessings. So I believe there are people walking around that are wondering, where are God's blessings in life? And yet they're not doing what he's telling us to do. He's asking us to be servants. That's what servolution is all about. It's us saying, okay, I'm going to take a week out here, and or maybe a day or whatever it looks like for you, and I'm just going to serve somebody. Somebody that they can do nothing for me. Because if I serve thinking I'm going to get something in return, I'm really not serving, right? The servant's heart says, I'm doing this with no return. I'm not going to get anything out of this. So I just want to prepare my heart to take care of those and love those who maybe are doing well, but I still serve them. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. These guys were doing okay. It wasn't like they were the down and outs. God had blessed him. Jesus was, they were walking with Jesus every day, but Jesus still served them. We don't have to find the one who is down and out. Now, that's important. The Bible tells us that, you know, we take care of the least of these, the people that are the most down and out, that we're doing it for Jesus. But he also gives us the example of just serving the people around us who are doing okay. But in our minds, we have this idea that, well, I'm going to do it for people who are less fortunate than me. That's good. But it's not always the way God wants us to serve. Sometimes he's going to ask you to serve somebody who it appears that they're more fortunate than you. Years and years ago, I found out about a church, a pastor friend of ours. They were trying to build a church, and they were trying to raise money, and they've been working so hard. And I was sitting in a worship service with them. I think it was like on a Friday night or something. And I just had this sense that God wants us to be a blessing. I'm going to be honest with you. I felt like God said to me, Grace Point, back then it was not Grace Point. Back then it was Ralston Road Church of God. That's a lot to say, all right? There's about 12 of us that remember those days. And I felt like God said, I want the church, your church, to give them $1,000. And I'm going to be honest with you. Here's what I said. God, they're three times as big as we are. They got way more money than we got. Maybe that message was for the guy down here, somebody else. You know, I had to kind of get my head around it. I said, okay, we're going to do it. And so we raised a little bit of money, and we sent it to them. I believe it was something like $1,190 that we were able to send to them. Well, then God blessed us in the process. I don't even have time to tell you that story. But God blessed us, and that was before our what is now the High Octane Kids Sanctuary. That was before it was High Octane Kids. That was before it was remodeled into a beautiful worship place. That was when it was just ugly. All right, the carpet was ugly, and the walls were ugly, and the pews were, everything was ugly in there. And we were just struggling, and we were like, we got to update. And so we started giving, we started serving, and God blessed us, and we were able to financially remodel, take care of what needed to be taken care of. And I'm telling you all that to say this, sometimes God is going to put you in a place to serve somebody that appears that they are more fortunate than you are, but you don't know what's going on in their heart. And you don't know what's going on in their home life. And you don't know the struggles they're facing. And you don't know what they need. And God just placed you right there to take them a basket full of food or a basket full of goodies at a women's shelter or handing out breakfast to somebody as they drive by on their way to work. You don't know what they're contemplating, what they're thinking, and how they're feeling. And all of a sudden, they realize there's somebody else that cares. Somebody else is thinking about somebody besides themselves. And it moves them one step closer to knowing Christ. Now, look, we may lead lots of people to Christ this week, but if we lead nobody to Christ, but we serve hundreds of people, we have done our job. We have done our job this week. Amen. So how are we going to prepare our hearts to serve? Because you got to be in the right place. You got to have your heart in the right place. Isaiah 64 says this. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is a hard scripture. This one like puts us all in our place. He says, we are all infected and impure with sin. Now you're not going to get that on the cover of the next positive thinking book. All right. God is not interested in just helping you think positively. God wants to get to the root of the problem so that he can heal us from the inside out. All right. So he says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. He said, when you brag about all the good stuff you did, it looks like a pile of nasty rags in the corner. Do you ever have that corner of the sink where you get those two or three dirty rags? Come on. You're not that clean. All right. and you're like, oh, that one's dirty. Just put it right over there. We'll wash that one later. And then you're doing something else and cooking, and then you get that other dirty rag, and you forget them for one day. And you walk in the kitchen, you're like, what in the world died up here? Then you got to do something about it. He says, when you display your righteous deeds, it's just a bunch of filthy rags. He said, when you brag about how good you are, it's still not good enough. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Now, we're still talking about preparing our hearts. Isaiah 59 and 2 says this. It's your sins that have cut you off from God because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. You see, it would be sad for us to look at ourselves and say, I'm doing pretty good, when really our lives are away from God. That our heart is not prepared to do what God has called us to do. The sin in our life is a big deal. It separates us from God. It creates a void between us and God, and he's not going to listen if we don't deal with it. Now look, there is a difference between embracing our sin and struggling against our sin. If you're struggling, we're going to give you an A+. All right? Just struggle. But don't embrace it. Don't just give in and say, well, this is what's going on in my life, and I'm just going to give up right here. I can't do any better. It's just where I am, and it's just what is going on in my life. He doesn't want us to do that because it cuts us off from God. And where does our healing come from? It comes from God. If I want healing, I got to come to God. I got to come to God's people. All right. Now, all of those scriptures, both of those, sounds hard. It's just, honestly, it's hard to read. But God is trying to get to our heart. Now, does that mean because God is willing to point out our sin, does that mean that God does not love us or that God does not care about us? Absolutely not. There's so many places in Scripture where Jesus showed us what it looks like to love somebody that other people feel like is unlovable, people that are in their sin. There was the woman at the well. You know all these stories. The woman at the well, she's waited for all the good women to finish getting their water, and she comes later so that nobody will bother her or say anything to her because of her lifestyle. Well, Jesus shows up. He knew who was going to be there. He shows up, and he starts a conversation, and he basically says to her, I'm the living water. You're getting water there, but I want to tell you about living water. There is something better. And she basically says, why are you talking to me? And he explains to her, and he reads her mail, all right? He just says, look, you've had five husbands. The one you got now is not your husband. And she's, what in the world? And you're talking to me? A Jewish man is talking to me and not judging me and not looking down on me? And Jesus gave her that living water so that she wouldn't have to go searching throughout the world for the thing that would make her happy. She could be happy in Christ. So even in our sin, he's trying to show us his love. Then there's Zacchaeus. We used to sing this in kids' church when I was a little boy. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. That's all I got. All right. Here's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a Jewish man. He was a tax collector for the Romans who had taken over Jerusalem. He's working for the bad guys. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus up in the tree, come down. I'm going to go to your house. He said it where everybody could hear him. Come here, you tax collector. Come down. I'm going to your house right now. And everybody who was really good and religious went, I can't believe it. Oh, and they said bad things about, horrible things about Jesus. And Jesus loved him. Then there's the adulterous woman. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The Bible says that this woman was caught in adultery. She's dragged out into the street in front of Jesus. They were trying to trap Jesus, trying to get him to break the law, right? And so they dragged her out, and I always wonder where the guy went. If you're going to commit adultery, there's got to be two people, right? I don't know where they let him go, but he should have, if there's going to be somebody dragged out, there needs to be two people dragged out. But they drag her out and they embarrass her in front of everybody. And they start asking Jesus questions like, what should we do with her? Here's what the law says we should do. They were saying, here's what it means to be harsh with sin and deal with it. And Jesus, I love this. The Bible says he knelt down. He started to write in the sand. And Jesus says, because they wanted to stone her, because that's what the law said. And Jesus said, the one of you that has no sin, you should cast the first stone. And he's just writing in the dirt. Rocks started dropping all over town. Oh, I better back away. He's going to point out my sin. What if he finds out about what I did? And here's what he said to her. Go and sin no more. Because everybody dispersed. All those haters dispersed and started to walk away. Rocks are dropping. One person said, I think Jesus was writing their sins in the sand. Like, here's Johnny's sin. Johnny's like, let me drop this rock and get out of here before my wife finds out what he's writing in the dirt. Let me get out of here before he writes more things in the dirt there that's going to cause me problems. And here's what he said to her, go and sin no more. He said, where are your accusers? He fought for her. He fought for her. He loved her, but he didn't say, you're not sinning. He said, go and sin no more. He said, now is the moment where things change. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. Publicans were people who were Jewish people who were making money off of the Roman occupation. Remember, the Romans had taken over Jerusalem. And there are some of the people that decided we're going to get in cahoots with these guys because they got all the money. And we're going to make money off of mistreating our own people. Jesus had lunch with them publicly. Again, all the religious people just couldn't believe. They were gasping. He's terrible. And Jesus spent time with the people he knew and so that needed him. And others would look at him and just say, oh, look at him. He's having dinner with the sinners. And then Jesus said, look, it's not the people who are well who need a doctor. It's the people who are sick. He said, I didn't come for people who are well. I came for people who are sick. And then there's the thief on the cross. I mean, he's got nothing to offer. He doesn't even have 1 ounce of life left to offer. He's only going to be here a few more minutes. And he repentantly approaches Jesus. He's hanging on the cross. He starts talking to Jesus. And he understands that his only way to salvation is Jesus. And Jesus is on the cross right beside him. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. You know what Jesus said? I love you. You've made some bad choices that got you here, but I love you. So when God points out that we have failed or we have sinned, it's not out of anger. He's not trying to get us. He's not trying to run us off. He's trying to pull us in. He wants to heal us. He wants to draw us close to him, which leads me to this scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Everyone ought to examine themselves. Now, this is important. Every one of us, from time to time, we need to examine our own hearts. What's going on in my heart today? Am I still angry about something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Am I bitter? Am I allowing a certain habit or a certain addiction to control my life that God, along with God's people, can help me overcome? Am I just moving toward that, or am I moving toward God? He just says, examine yourself. Look at your own life. He said, before you eat the bread or drink the cup, he's talking about communion, and we're going to receive communion in just a minute together. And so we're going to pray before we do that. Are there things in your life? We're about to go out and serve the community. And God already loves us. We know that, right? God cares about us, loves us, has a plan for us, wants to bless us. We just got to cooperate with him and his will and his plan. So I want you just to stand with me right where you are this morning. Got your communion right here? I want you just to hold it in your hand. And as the band is coming up and getting ready to lead us, I want to ask you to do this. There is no greater honor than to be a servant of Christ. There is no greater honor than being a servant of Christ. And when we walk out into our everyday lives and we are serving other people, God will bless us along the way. But our heart needs to be prepared. Our heart needs to be right before God. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about being right before God. We're talking about God working in our lives to forgive us of our sins. Jody mentioned it earlier. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Jesus gave up his life on our behalf so we could be saved, so we could have eternal life. The Bible teaches us, John 3:16, God so loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you don't know Christ this morning, I want you to know him first. That's the most important thing, is just to know Jesus, right? Just know him. And I like to say it like this. This is easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you've sinned. You got to believe on Jesus, and you got to confess him. You got to say it. You got to tell somebody. So as you do that, and you pray that prayer in your own way, and you start your journey with the Lord, and you let him start to work in your life, I encourage you to start right now. See what God will do. Just give him a try. Give him a try. If you've been walking with the Lord a while, but you find yourself caught in a cycle of sin that is, you know, is separating you from God and moving you in the wrong direction, maybe it's moving you backwards. You came out of it. You came out of it one time, but now you find yourself regressing back in. And you're afraid to say anything because what if other people see it and they think you failed or you are a failure? Let me tell you something. I don't know how many people are in this room and how many people are watching online this morning. Bunch of failures. Everybody in the room has failed. Everybody has messed up. Everybody will mess up again. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need him. So if this is an opportunity for us, before we honor the Lord in communion, that we say, Lord, here's some areas of my life. I want your forgiveness. I want your help. I want to grow. I want to walk in your power and your strength every single day. I just want you to have your way with my life. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray that examination prayer. God, show me, help me, forgive me. Father, we thank you right now for all of your blessings. We just thank you for loving us and being concerned about us and caring about us. But Lord, we also know that when you point out our sin to us, you're doing it from a place of love, like you did with the adulterous woman and like you did with Zacchaeus and like you did with the publicans and sinners and so many other people, God. You just love us. But sin kills and sin destroys, and you don't want us to live that life. You want us to be blessed. And we just pray today, Lord, the areas of our life that are wrong or sinful or that we're struggling in, God, that you just cleanse us. We confess it. We just ask you to cleanse us. Just wash us clean. Forgive us. And we pray, Lord, that moving forward, we would walk in deliverance. Lord, deliverance is an event right now, followed by a process as we grow. And Lord, we're asking you to use us for your glory. And we thank you for what you have done for us, for giving us your life so that we could be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now look, even if you're not, I've already said this once, I just want to reiterate it. This is not, we are not just preparing ourselves for just Servolution. You may not ever put on a Serve t-shirt, all right? That's okay, all right? But when we prepare ourselves before God, we let God prepare us to make an impact in our families, in our communities, that God supernaturally, and I still believe in the supernatural power of God at work in our lives. I believe God can heal families. I believe God can heal people. I believe God answers our prayers, and he uses people often to do that. So wherever you are and whatever's going on, this is for all of us this morning. So I want to give you a little bit of instruction. We're using some new communion this morning. Turn the liquid side down, the wine side down. Don't open that yet, all right? We're going to open the one with the bread. Take the bread out. Let's just hold the bread in our hands for a minute. 1 Corinthians 11 says this. Everyone ought to examine themselves, and we've done that, okay? Every one of us has done that. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and he gave thanks. He had given thanks. He broke it, and he said, 'This is my body.'" This represents the body of Jesus, "which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take the bread together. Lord, we want to pause right here and just say thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you, God, for your broken body. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave up your life for ours. That you chose to love us in spite of our failures and sins. Thank you for dying on that cross in our place. In Jesus' name. Now let's open the other side of the cup of the wine. First Corinthians 11:25 says this, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant or the new testament in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's take the cup together. Lord, we thank you right now for your broken body and your shed blood that makes us whole. God, we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise. Amen. Let's sing this together, everybody. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
I'll sing again.
Lord, I need. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Lord, we just lift it up to you. We lift up our hearts. We lift, God, every bit of potential that you have placed in our lives, God, we lift that up to you. We want you to be glorified. We want your name to be lifted up. We pray, God, that you would use us in our families, and you would use us in our homes, and you would use us on our jobs, and you would use us when we're at the store and when we're at the park and wherever we are, God, that we would be vessels of honor that you could use, and we would lift up your name and we would put you first in everything we do. And God, we give you this Servolution week. God, we have no other goal except to serve, looking for nothing in return. God, we pray that you, we can sow and we can water, but you're the one who makes it grow. You're the one who gives the increase. And God, whatever results you want from this, we put that in your hands, God. We're just going to give that to you. We can't make it happen anyway. But Lord, we're asking you to use us for your honor. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And look, this week, I'm going to ask you to do something. You might not even be in a particular group, but I'd love for you to be praying for that group. You might not even remember all the names, but I want you to pray that God would help us plant, that God would help us water, and that he would give the increase. I want you to pray for the people who are doing it. You might not be in the Breakfast to Go Club, all right? That may not be your team, but we're going to lift them up in prayer. You might not be on the nursing station team, but we're going to lift them up in prayer. You might not be putting up bird feeders at the nursing home, but we're going to lift them up in prayer that God would use it and be glorified in it. You might not be doing Christmas in July this afternoon, all right? You might not be giving away goodie bags to senior citizens, but we're going to be lifting them up in prayer that God would use us all for his honor and his glory. Amen. Father, bless us as we go. Thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody.